Morning, I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting back to order. We have a 10 o'clock agenda item. I should also mention that present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. And the 10:30 agenda item is fiscal year 2026 budget workshop number 2. And we are going to be hearing from the prosecutor's office this morning. With that said, take it away.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Board of County Commissioners. Happy to be here. We're excited about this year's budget. We are not yet complete with our A budget yet, but we are actually making real progress. So we're going to have another budget workshop about that. But I wanted to kind of update you on where we are going and how it looks, because we're actually getting pretty excited about what's happening here. If you'll look at just the requested budget chart, this is what was sent out. I mean, you'll notice something rather peculiar, which is that we're pretty flat in terms of what we're requesting from last year to this year, which in terms of real inflation is actually means we're asking less of the taxpayer. I think we're doing more. We're actually covering a lot more ground. And so leaner and meaner is kind of the theme of this year's budget for us. And I mean both leaner and meaner. And so what we're planning on doing with our, let me first give you a little background. This, as we transition to the state public defender office, the state public defender did a very good job of raising salaries for early and mid-level attorneys and absolutely not doing so for those that are 20 and 30 year, like highly experienced attorneys. So they cut the tops and they don't get paid very much, but the early guys, they get paid quite a lot more, significantly more, to the tune of, as you can see, this is this year's budget number. They start at $90,000 for an attorney one. That's what they start at. We're starting at currently at 72. And the impact of that is we don't get applicants. And I think I can attest to that. We have had, posted and reposted our positions. We get a few applicants. They are not typically as good. Fortunately, we are surviving on our great interns that we've already kind of hooked into it, and they're fantastic. But that's what's keeping us alive right now. It's difficult to compete when you can go across the street and get paid not $5,000 or $10,000 more, but close to $20,000 more. So the new attorneys and the mid-level attorneys at the public defender's office are very happy. In fact, I just got out of prelims speaking with some of those younger attorneys, and I'm very happy for them. But they went from being paid maybe 80 here to going up to 105. So, and that's for an attorney 3. So these are the numbers, and if you could see, it goes from 90 to 96 at 2 to 105 at 3 to 125 at 4. And then they cap out at 134, which is a pretty low cap, actually, for highly experienced guys. That's for this year. If you look to the right on this chart.
Just as a point of clarification, when you say capped out, you don't mean that those attorneys are limited from making that. That's just the cap of their starting range.
That's the cap of their starting range.
Yes, I just want to be clear on that. That's
which
not
they
their
viewed
attorneys
as a cap,
or
they treated it as a cap as the way they used it. In the
Mr. Chairman?
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have these. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you.
I thought they were all like separate sheets.
Oh.
Oh.
I don't.
It's all right. We'll let
okay,
it go.
So those numbers that I was just rattling off to you meaninglessly, they're in the top left-hand corner. And those are not, I don't think they're meant to be maximums, but the way that the PD interpreted it the first time was that. So the point is they lost a lot of top people. They left. I picked one up as my new civil chief. It's great. But the point is, I think, that we're struggling to compete with, especially as you look into fiscal year 2026, and this is what they've got approved so far, which is they start at 92, and then they move up from there. So it's everything just been raised by a couple thousand dollars. They're, unfortunately, way, way, way ahead of us. So what we envision is we have made a lot of difficult decisions at the PA's office. It has not been an easy transition, but what we have done is we have tried to cut inefficiencies, which meant cutting some personnel, people that we liked, that personality-wise, we enjoyed them, but they were not efficient at their jobs or in those positions, and so we've made those kind of cuts. As a result, we have some ability, we think, to return positions to the county, to basically defund them and give them back. And that way, we're going to be able to, and I think that's going to be to the tune of about 5 positions at this point. And that will essentially fund our competitive salary increases so that we can stay competitive with public defender, which I think is just something we have to do. So when I think about what my goals are as the prosecuting attorney, it's not just to be buddy-buddy to all of and I love my deputies and I love to work with them, but it's not just because I love them that I'm telling you this. I anticipate that I want this prosecutor's office to be successful long after I left. And to do that, we have to be competitive. It just that is a prerequisite. We have to be competitive. So we're not asking for like probably a lot more than that. But what you're going to see across the board in my request, and I've got this is I'm not going to share this with you, but this is just to show you the kind of work that we've been doing. We've been plugging in. What happens if we do 2 things? One, we get rid of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 classifications externally. So our PCNs will simply say prosecuting attorney deputy, right? And then internally, we reflect something similar to the state public defender in terms of their ranges. So the bottom ranges would be the same as the public defender. So we've been looking at how much that would cost us to actually implement if we started doing that. And the answer is probably around, and this is, we're going to go to the controllers for the exact number. But if we just do the rough math and we add in 35% for benefits, just roughing it, we look to be about $400,000 just for the criminal prosecuting attorneys alone. But if you look at the impact of what we can do in terms of giving back several salaries, some changes in the amounts of money that we're going to receive from certain prosecuting contracts, we're going to more than cover that. So that's what's really exciting to us is when we see that the numbers are starting to jive, we're able to kind of get there. So we're going to both be able to both get leaner, right, but also meaner, I mean, in the sense that we are completely competitive. So, Ingrid, do you have any more thoughts on that?
I don't. I appreciate your comments. I think that's. I also would just recognize the help that we've gotten from Marty in talking through some of these market adjustments and trying to be competitive. We've also evaluated some other areas within our office and learned after some conversations with Marty that actually our salaries are quite competitive. And, you know, other areas of our office, our support staff salaries, for example, are very competitive. You'll see some requests for those positions as well to get some raises based on some internal unfairness, based on some residuals from the past. There are some people with more experience that are being paid less that shouldn't be being paid less. So you'll see some minor adjustment requests there. But we really are just trying to keep up with the market. We're not asking for any more than what we need to keep people from walking across the street and getting a $10,000 raise by leaving the office. We don't want to be in a situation where someone can leave our office and make $10,000 or $15,000 more just by walking across the street. But I think, you know, we sat down last night and went through some of these numbers, Melinda Boyd and I, and we ended up deciding that we should potentially look at giving back another position than we'd initially talked about, because I know how important it is to Prosecutor Boyd that we balance this, that we balance the budget to last year, and that we not ask for more from the taxpayer. So I would just echo those sentiments about the fact that we are pretty excited about this. If we can come in at the same budget as last year, despite all of this crazy inflation, and reward our hardworking employees and retain them, I think that's just a win for everyone. So I'm hopeful that we can accomplish that.
Chairman?
Yes.
I have several questions, if it's okay. So when we did the analysis and on the salaries for the sheriff's office and the command staff, we had the comparison that included where Canyon County was at. And I heard what you say was the starting number for a one, but am I missing it? Like, I don't see it on here.
No, and we can provide that.
Yeah, we can provide that. And this is a worksheet. We thought of it. This is a workshop, so we have a ways to go before this is a ready-to-go exhibit. But the current starting salary rate is $72,000 for
yes.
Attorney 1.
Okay.
So that's what we had advertised out. That's the maximum that we're giving people when they start, unless they've got some kind of extra experience. We're giving them $72,000. And as you can see, next year, $92,000 is what you'll get paid as a brand new baby starting deputy
public defender.
Public defender.
Right. And so that, yeah, and that kind of leads into my next question is, if I understand it correctly, I'm going to look at Aaron Bazzoli because he filled that director position for public defense, but we're required to keep those salaries competitive with each other, correct, according to IDAPA rules?
Commissioner, if I can, the IDAPA rule that we were under during that time has actually been, was designed to make public defense have parity with prosecutors, not mm-hmm. the other way around, just because prosecutors were historically paid more than that. If you remember right, when they went to the state system, July 1st, 2024, those IDAPA rules were no longer in effect. And I don't believe that the new state public defender has identified or adopted any new rules regarding that.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I know there's been some, but I think it's important for me because we're operating, at least I got to get my mind on a different trail on what we're doing to be competitive. So I would like it if we could see where we're at, and I'm looking at the chief, because in that comparison, which was easily defensible to the public on why we made those market adjustments, $70,000 to me seems too low for the work that you have to put in to be a good, competent attorney at law school when you come out. So I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying that to me there's a couple of pieces of missing information in the comparables on what we're doing. So I see your finger up.
Mr. Chair, I do have a comment. So when the state public defense went to the state from the county side, their new comparison is the Attorney General's office instead of the local counties, PA and PD. So to stay competitive, I've noticed that Ada County is upping their start of the prosecution side for attorneys on even the one levels. So if we don't do the same suit and kind of keep in that competitive market, we're not going to get the applicant pool, because now you're competing with the state, other counties, and local jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. But the exciting thing about it, for me anyway, is that we, you know, it's one thing to come hat in hand and say, hey, you know, we need you guys to fund another $500,000 so that we can stay competitive. The cool thing is that I think we found enough efficiencies that we can fund it by simply discontinuing positions.
And Chairman, may I follow up?
Yeah.
And I appreciate you saying that. And historically, there was an ask because, and I think it probably goes back to what you've identified as an inefficiency, or maybe some needing better management on the caseloads of how that was being divvied out. I don't know. I just had to kind of piecemeal that. But this projection, if you do $400,000 this year, including benefits, that's going to carry you for next year and for a couple of years at least on not needing to add. You're saying that your staff has the capacity to handle the...
I don't know what's going to happen, Commissioner.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm not making any representations about where we are at this year, but I think it's pretty cool to come before the commissioners and make something, you know, competitive at the same time
mm-hmm.
while keeping the cost of the taxpayer the same that it has been.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what I can represent. I don't know what will happen in terms of population next year. I don't know what will happen in terms of, yeah, there's just a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not committing to say, oh, we're going to leave. We're never going to come and ask you for an increase. What I'm saying is that when we came in as a new administration, we were able to find a lot of places where we felt there were inefficiencies. And I think that we've, at this point, we've been in for 5 months. We're confident that those are actual inefficiencies that have been, at this point,
right.
solved.
So. And Chairman, follow up?
Yes.
And I appreciate you putting that on the record. It's not to back you in a corner. It is simply because it's my job, I feel, to ask the questions and have people understand why we make market adjustments. I think a lot of people believe that county employees somehow are not entitled to receive fair compensation for qualified, competent professional work. And so I just have to be able to defend it and ask questions because people will ask me. And so thank you for even putting on the record that you're not saying that there wouldn't be, depending on the population and the crime rate, all of that. I know there's a lot of factors that go into that, including what we're doing with the jail. It's all tied together. And that's what the message that we need to get out of people. Value public safety. The prosecutor's office works hand in hand with local law enforcement to arrest, convict, incarcerate, all of that. I just need to have you say that. I'm saying it, but I need to have you say that on the record because that really is a decision as we're sitting here as a board trying to figure out what to fund with some deficits from a prior board's cuts. How do we prioritize public safety, which I think people value, and do that in a way that keeps prosecution where it should be? We heard a lot of complaints. I'm not going to not say that. We did hear a lot of complaints under the former administration about going to trial, convictions, all of that. So long story long, I just needed to ask the question. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Commissioner, if I could just add to that, I think when Prosecutor Boyd talks about being lean and mean, there are different kind of philosophies with which you can run an office. You can run an office by saying, you know, we're not going to ask very much of these people, and so let's just continue to get more positions, and then nobody, you know, everybody can just kind of, there's less pressure on the individual employees. They can kind of come and go as they please. When we talk about leaner and meaner, we're talking about accountability. We're talking about people coming to work every day and going to court. We're talking about an office that now it's a lot easier to find court coverage because people are in the office.
Right.
We're talking about people staying on top of their screening tasks. We're seeing better turnaround times for those case screenings that get sent to us, and people are making charging decisions sooner. We're seeing momentum. And so, you know, I think this administration's mentality about this is let's ask more from these individual employees and retain our really stellar people. And we can do that. We can do more with less if we're really rewarding those people who are very productive and doing, you know, going to trial on homicide cases and winning these jury trials and holding sex offenders accountable and doing all of those things for public safety that are so important.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate that mentality. And I think our employees will appreciate that as well.
And I do too. I know that this has been in the transition, there's been some significant differences in the administration of how this runs. So thank you for putting that on the record. Chairman, if I could ask one more question.
Sure.
The civil side, those market adjustments have been made, correct? Or is there a part two?
That's a great question, Commissioner. If I could just speak to the change that we've discussed with Greg, we are looking to change the classification for our civil legal assistance. I don't know if you would like to address that or.
Well, I'm happy to. You could do it too, Ingrid, just as well, and maybe better than I could. But so one of the things on the PAC side, we see with the civil legal assistance, they do a kind of work that's a little more complex than your average legal assistant. It's less administrative and more paralegal. They might be asked to research something. They might be, I mean, they'll draft letters for you. They use creative thought. They do things that are a little more, they're just more demanding. And we have four right now. We kind of thought, the way we've thought about this is you could have probably just two classifications among them. One which is the more entry-level one, and the other one which is the experienced one. And that actually reflects well in our current makeup, as far as we have two that are they're 20-plus year people that I can trust to just basically churn out whatever I need. And I think you can just, they'll churn it out. They could do as good a job as any attorney in terms of their capabilities. And so that would, I think, reclassifying them as paralegals due to what they're asked to do, right, to the more complex. I think that will reflect well on them. We haven't figured out yet, and this is what we're waiting on. This is what I was telling Greg before we started, is I'm still waiting on some more data in terms of figuring out what that would look like salary-wise, if what kind of adjustments or ranges would be appropriate. We're still working on that.
So okay.
That's one of the things for next time. Not hopefully. We've got to get done by next time.
Yeah.
but that's one of the things that we don't have. We do have this data, which is pretty preliminary. We got this. Well, we compiled this in the last few days. Is all
okay?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a finalized exhibit, as you've noticed. But so that's about. Oh, and as far as the civil deputy prosecutors, we want to make those same comparisons across the line. They're a little more difficult to make because there's no state public defender civil side, right? And so this. The state public defender really kind of set the bar for all of us have to compete with them. Prosecutor across the state now has to. And so that almost is going to set across the state what the standard is, because we're just going to be stuck with it. We have to compete with them. They can go across the street and do it. So I don't know what the answer is to that. It's a great question. I wish we knew what the answer was. We're working on it. Aaron, have you done any additional work on that I don't know about?
Aaron and I have talked about this a little bit. What we have actually been looking at, and we haven't really to present that to Prosecutor Boyd yet, but what we have looked at is the Attorney General's office. They have a civil litigation department. That's a good comparison. They also have in-house counsel, deputy attorneys general. And so those two departments are paid a little differently. The civil litigation folks tend to be paid a little higher than the in-house counsel folks. And then we have some county prosecutors' offices. Kootenai and Ada, I think, are probably the best comparators. So I know Aaron has been looking at those numbers with his team, and we've spoken about it a little bit. But those, just to give you an idea, that's what we're looking at, because we're trying to make we're trying to make accurate comparisons so we can bring you some market numbers on that as well.
Chairman, can I follow up with another comment? I had a little piece of watching some of that public defense at the last legislative session, and Aaron Mazzoli was also involved in that. But I want to put squarely where the responsibility for those increases come from. Mr. Fredrickson was hired by the state as the public defense coordinator for that. And so that budget, help me if I don't get the information right, but that budget basically doubled. And then the administrative, I guess the growth in bureaucracy for that to manage that from the state side is really what's driving the salaries. And I think your point's well taken, that if we want to be competitive and have good people here, we can't lag $20,000. But we had nothing to do when that was handed over from the counties. There was a number that was given on what that would take that was presented at IAC. So for people listening, the county's responding to what the state is doing, and it's not always positive, but it is necessary to maintain competition in that marketplace for people going to trial and presenting your best. Nobody wants to see somebody get off that should be charged and incarcerated. So,
Chairman Holton, Mr. Chairman, if I can, a couple things on the point you just addressed. This was a discussion that I know the board's aware of, because we talked about it a couple of years ago when the state took over, as we knew if they started paying higher salaries for the state, then the counties were going to have to respond. So when the state took away public defense from the counties and the funds, said, hey, you don't have to pay what we were paying, about $6 million in 2024 without the grant, we knew that expense was going to have to come somewhere else. If you look at the Idaho State Bar right now, and obviously the state public defender is now flush with cash, as I think they went from a $50 million budget to an $84 million budget, the bulk of the new jobs available are with the state public defender, and there's probably 20 job opportunities on the website right now, from attorney twos to attorney fives, with starting salaries from $93,000 to $102,000 in small counties like Cache even. And the reason I bring that up is the point that Mr. Boyd was making. Idaho is not flush with attorneys. Well, it seems like we have a lot of attorneys, and everybody always says, you know, there's always too many attorneys. The number of attorneys coming out of law school right now at University of Idaho are about 125. Over the last 5 years, about 65% of those have passed the bar on the first go around. So you've got the entire state of Idaho, not just state public defender, Ada, Canyon County, all the private firms fighting for about 60 new lawyers a year. And that's not a lot of people. And if we are well behind the curve, and we obviously, government, most attorneys coming out of law school either want to get into civil practice, and we're not going to grab those people anyway, or they want to be government agents and work in either public defense or prosecution. If we can't compete with either the prosecutor's offices or the public defender's offices, we're going to be where we are now, which is really not getting applications. Right now, we have an open position we've advertised for, and you have students studying to take the bar and hardly anybody applying. Because there's so much demand on a very small supply.
Yeah. Chairman, may I respond?
Okay.
When I was attending an IAC conference before I had commissioners, there was this board. I just think it bears worth saying for the record that Ada and Canyon County did not stand to gain by replacing the public defender directors that we had in place. They were functioning well. The state program was designed really for the smaller counties. That was a better deal for them probably, but not for the larger counties. So the whole debacle, okay, I'll use that word, that's going on to try and get that in place at a state level. We had one of the best, and I say that confidently, one of the best public defenders in the state of Idaho. He's great, and I appreciate the fact that we were able to retain Aaron Bazzoli here at the county, but that discussion was interesting at that time. So, Chairman, thank you for allowing me to ask questions.
I want to speak directly to our taxpayers. State of Idaho has, through the legislature, become this top-down entity, and they consider us the locals, and they say it with a sneer. They've created a process. This isn't truly an unfunded mandate, but this is screwing around with a limited supply and messing with the payment of what's expected of one side of the courtroom that we're going to be responding. And we can handle it this year, and we're really blessed that we have the PA's office and his staff to come out to a zero-sum gain. But I have great compassion for the other 42 counties who don't have the resources that we have, that the state of Idaho, through their public defender's debacle, is going to cause great rift. I have no idea how some of those counties are going to pay their prosecutors or pay their staff or any of that, because this truly is in a gross amount of money messing with the taxpayers across the state of Idaho, because somebody in the public defender's office, in this commissioner's personally protected constitutional right to say, doesn't have a real clue what he's doing, and he's set us up. So next year, we may or may not have the money to do what we need to do, because he has 2 years of representing what he can get by with his budget, and if he increases it any kind of proportionality that he did this year, I don't know where that puts us. So to throw more money at it is literally what they're doing, and yet the pool of lawyers has not significantly changed and will not significantly change for next year. And so I'm frustrated, because it is not a true unfunded mandate, but it is significantly messing with all of the cost for this part. And I'm totally frustrated with it. I am totally thankful that we have the technical know-how this year of how to get by without a significant financial implication. But I heard it loud and clear, and PA Boyd said it well. I can't tell you what's going to happen next year. And I'm saying there's a lot of things happening state level that we're totally not in control of. And literally, to my knowledge, the state could have cared less what it did to the locals. They're just doing what they're doing, creating their own bureaucracy of 20-some people that were not ever contemplated in the original legislation, that are high-level paid people that don't leave the metropolis of Boise. It's a frustration.
Chairman, and I want to add on to that, because in this Senate hearing, Mr. Bazzoli and I both lobbied to have some of the language that's requiring counties to continue to provide office space, allow the state not to pay for maintenance or utilities, any of that. There's some shall language in there about what the counties will do. We had drafted a letter, but the only part of that that got looked at, which Mr. Bazzoli could speak more to than I was the parental rights section. But when that circled back around, the speaker didn't even consider the fact that the added burden from the state of providing those facilities in a growing county that needs the space. I think Mr. Bazzoli was way more articulate than I'm being, but that is also a disservice to county taxpayers, where there's now a state function that is being subsidized by county taxpayers. And that message is not getting out there. The state is asking the county to subsidize their programs. And if we looked at Commissioner Brooks has a 47-page document, all the state mandated things, and if we were to go through with Ada County and look at the numbers that the county taxpayers are still being asked to pay for under the guise of a state-provided service, I think it would be staggering. So I think it's just information for the record. I say that without malice, but I think it's important to be factual about what's happening with taxpayer dollars and state dollars, and to have an excess at the state level like what the state had, and not provide jail space, not provide a full funding of things that they are claiming to take over, I object. I object. I'm not an attorney, but I object.
Chairman Alton, if I can, one of the things, following up with PA Boyd, Mr. Boyd and Ms. Beatty have really looked at all the people in this office of 90 plus, and Melinda as well, and they've really worked at reassigning duties and worked to build a cohesive unit that works together to mass essence trim the fat. And they've all worked very hard to make sure that everybody in the office is doing their job and helping each other out and growing and training. And I think it's become a more effective and more efficient, and we've spent money on Carpel coming in now that's going to make everybody's jobs better, easier as well. So Mr. Boyd has done a tremendous job in his first 6 months of really refocusing this office and coming in with a budget plan that recognizes the employees we have and where we can save funds as well.
And Chairman, may I follow up with that? I really appreciate Ingrid's statement that they are calling people back to an in-person. You have to be in the office. I think we're more productive when we're in there, and you have a greater sense of community and teamwork. So thank you for doing that. That leftover from COVID should have been eliminated when all of that happened. And we were for that, but that office had some layer of protection that that did not happen. So thank you for bringing people back.
I would say that when I ran for this seat, one of my goals was to keep us out of the paper, no matter what I found and what I had to fix. And hats off to PA Boyd. He got handed a similar situation, and he hasn't whined and complained to the press or anybody else. He just rolled up his sleeve with his staff, and he fixed it. It's a night and day difference from when the day he walked into that office, and he knew he was walking into this. I just hats off, because it's too often that we don't acknowledge good, and we're always focused on the problems and the issues. So I'd like to take the moment to say that I'm really proud of what's been done in the PA's office and where we're at. And as an example, if you want to do some research, just look at the win and losses on the performance of the PA's office before. Look at last year's. Look at a year ago to date for 6 months compared to a year, 6 months this year. And you can even see it in the performance in the courtroom. So it's a great transition, and I am very pleased that you're thinking to this morning in this workshop that you can come back with a flat line. That's just incredible to this commissioner, in consideration to all the improvements that have been made.
Agreed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is way too kind, and we have such a great executive team that works so hard on it, and such great people, wonderful talent.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult to come in and make some difficult decisions, but we are so excited about this because it is cool. I mean, if you look at the past, if you go back to fiscal year 2022 to 23, 24, 20, every year it's an increase, minimum 5%, which translates to $500,000 new. That's the new extra. And so we're kind of stoked that we're going to be able to do that, and also we'll be able to get us competitive and also do that. I don't know how many years we can do that.
Right.
It's can't squeeze that out for, you know, going forward all the time, but this is something that, you know, it's something that we committed to the taxpayers to do, that we would really be out for them, that we'd be serving them and be servant leaders like you guys are. We appreciate your leadership and I appreciate that. So thank you.
That's why I made the point. We're in a deal that is we're not in control of all the major factors that are gonna mess with us next year on costs. So we'll do the best we can do with what we're handed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so do we have a date set for returning?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I worked with PA Boyd on that to make sure it works in his schedule as well, but we're looking at June 27th from 10 a.m. to noon.
Okay.
Okay with that?
Yeah.
That kind of bleeds in the BOE session, but this is critical to get this done.
Okay.
So we could inform the assessor on that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll cause fingernails on the blackboard, but we'll do our best. Yeah, we'll be here.
I'll talk to him. He loves us.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
Chairman Hall, for clarification, and taking what has been said here, is Commissioner Van Beek would like to also see the Canyon County ranges for a direct comparison to the other agencies as part of that process. And then you want to have a per person, or do you want to see more of a range of this is where the funds, where we need to start these programs at? You don't want to see raises individually. You want to see if we're going to start a public defender who's got 0 to 2 years experience, this is where, or prosecutor, this is where they should be.
And Chairman, that scenario was the one I was thinking of. The other is, in my humble opinion, protected information that's between the prosecutor and the chief deputy. I don't know.
Well, I think what my plan was is to do it via PCN and not use people's names.
Oh, okay.
But I would like to present both.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
This is what the range is based upon what the classifications are that we've kind of conferred with Marty about. We all kind of agree that that's the appropriate range on both the top and the bottom. The bottom is going to be easy because I think the bottom is going to be the public defender, state public defender pretty much. But the top kind of is something that we have to be strategic about and think very carefully about how it works.
Chairman, and I appreciate your posture. In the absence of information that we can look at, people create information that may or may not. So I have seen spreadsheets of people that do the comparisons when there was maybe a rubric that didn't have the buy-in of HR or was comparing to Texas. I don't know why that happened. But anyway, thank you for providing that. I think that will be really good for me and good for the board in helping move the prosecutor's office to a place where it's really a desirable and a great place to work for Canyon County. It's working well. Chairman, thank you for your comments. Our desire is to make the paper positively. Sometimes you take a few stripes to get there, which, okay.
Clerk, do you have any comments for this workshop?
No, sir.
Okay, all right. Okay, are we good?
Yes.
At this point? Okay, I would make a motion that we take this conversation into advisement and be looking forward to the 27th next workshop.
I second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. So let's take a brief recess before the next agenda item. Thank you.